from our time together this morning is this understanding that it's just not about being able to demonstrate, you know, we're right. It's being able to understand what the truth is and how to communicate that in a way that that is meaningful. Because in reality, if you have not had Mormon missionaries knock on your door, you will. I mean, that's pretty much a given. They've either knocked on your door or they're going to knock on your door. It's like Bum Phillips when he was interviewed. Anybody who knew Houston, Texas guys know Bum Phillips, right? He was, yeah. And when he was fired as the Oilers coach, he was asked by a commentator as to, you know, how it feels to be, you know, to be fired and yada, yada, yada. And he says, well, you know, there's only two kinds of football coaches. Those that's been fired and those that's going to be fired. And that's kind of is about, same with Mormon missionaries or Jehovah's Witness missionaries. There, if you haven't knocked on your door, they're going to be knocking on your door. So you might as well understand that and be able to enter into a dialogue where you talk about grace. And you have some, you actually have more common ground with those in the Mormon church that are leaning toward the new Mormonism view of God than the traditional view. I think you'll see that as we go through this. You'll have more in common. That's both a blessing and a curse, depending upon how prepared you are to enter into that that discussion and how you understand it. Okay, well, we're going to rock and roll. For those of you who weren't here when I was giving my little background, my name is Richard Tompkins, and I'm here to talk about the God of the New Mormonism. Is he the God of the Bible? If that's the topic that you want to hear, you are in the right place. If that's not the topic you want to hear, you're still in the right place, because we're going to have fun, and I'm glad you're here. So stay, don't leave, and we'll talk through it. I want you to make note of my email address, TompkinsRichard@hotmail.com, so that you can send me questions that you might have as we after this is over and after this information maybe has percolated in your head a little bit. You're welcome to do that, or to just send me an email and say, you know, you wasted my time on that Friday morning, whatever it is, or Saturday morning, whatever you want. You can send me that. You can send me an email. So make note of that. Also, I want to invite you to sit back and relax and pay attention to what I'm going to be talking about and spend less time on taking notes. Because here's why. If you'll send me an email and say notes in the subject line or PowerPoint in the subject line or notes in PowerPoint on the subject line, I will hit the return key and attach to that everything that I, every, my whole PowerPoint presentation and all my script, all my notes. This does not represent exactly what I'm going to say. It does represent what I intend to say. So, even if I don't say this, it'll be worth you having those notes. And I do want to tell you that we're going to talk about a lot of points, a lot of words. I'm not very good with graphics. I'm not a tech guy at all, and so you're not going to see the most dynamic PowerPoint that you've ever seen in your whole life. So you're going to see a lot of information. So this is kind of the good news, bad news kind of story about coming here to this session. There is good news and bad news. What do we want first? Who wants the good news first and who wants the bad news first? How many want the good news? Bad news first. The bad news is I'm going to throw a lot of terms at you, a lot of information at you, and bad jokes maybe along the way. And so, you know, stay awake. Pay attention. And send me your emails and I'll give you this data, because it's information you need to learn. But you're not going to be able to absorb it all as I go through it. Just not going to be able to. So don't try. Just let it come into you. That's the bad news. The good news is I'm probably not going to take my whole 55 minutes. And that's the good news, because that means you'll get out early. You'll be the first in line at the food trucks. And I'm not doing that for your sake. I'm doing it for my sake, because I want to be first in line at the food trucks. Because I got to pack up everything before I go out. So that's what we're going to do. So let's, I think that's all I wanted to do for an introduction. Oh, I will, I have notes. It's a script. I script everything. Even when I was a pastor and preaching sermons, I had a script. Don't always follow the script, but it's there. It's my security blanket. I will use it a lot today. If I ramble a little bit and come back to my notes and read the same thing again, have a little grace on me, because that's just the way it is. But the information is what I want you to grasp, not necessarily how good I am at presenting it. Hopefully you won't be too bored. So let's begin. As I think is appropriate, we should always begin with Scripture, especially when you're talking about God. So here's two passages out of the Bible that I think are very, very important that ties to what we want to talk about this morning. Isaiah 44:6 says, "This is what the Lord, the King of Israel, and its Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, says, I am the first, I am the last, there is no God but me." Remember that as we go through the rest of this presentation. And then Isaiah 43:10, "No God was formed before me, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior but me." I want you to remember those words as we go through this presentation this morning. Because all that we talk about is going to resonate with whether or not this and these words of the Bible represent the God of Mormonism. It's all going to come back to it. We'll end with this scripture when we're all done. So here we are. Either the God of the Bible is the only God who is and was and will ever be, or the Bible's not true. One of those two premises has to hold. Either this is it, or the Bible, where it comes from, is not valid. I can't address that second premise today. I can't give you a presentation on the validity of the Bible. That's not what we're here for. That's a different conference or a different talk. Now, I'll be glad to talk to you at some other time and prove to you that the Bible is true. But today I can't do that. We have to assume during our presentation today that the Bible is true. I'm standing on that, and I'm not going to try to present anything other than that to you. What we really want to work on is that first possibility, that first premise, if you will. Is the God of the Bible the only God? That's what we want to talk about. If he is, then this puts what? That puts this passage of Scripture and our faith in direct conflict with almost every other faith system that exists in the world today. Almost every one of them we're in conflict with. And this is especially true but that faith system that we know as the Church of Latter-day Saints, or better known as the Mormons. I hear that they're trying to downplay that term Mormon. They don't like to be called that anymore. Yeah, they're getting away with it. Well, I'm old school. They're still Mormons to me. But yes, they are trying to downplay that. So here's our goal as we look at our material. We want to clearly demonstrate that the God represented by the Mormon faith is not the God of the Bible, and thus is not the only God. Their God is not the only God who is, or was, or will be. That's what we want to end our discussion with. That's how we want to surmise what we're talking about. Well, here's a problem when we're talking about the LDS God, that it's evolved. It hasn't been consistent. Even today, even though we're going to group these two views of God into the traditional view, Mormon view, LDS view, and this new Mormonism view, and within those, they vary. So it's a little hard to pin it all down. But what I'm going to do the best I can to give you a summation of one view and the other view and how that compares to the biblical view. And that's all that we can do. And also I want to let you know that our discussion here today is about God. It's not about Mormonism. I'm not trying to teach you everything there is to know about Mormonism for two very good reasons. Number one, we don't have time. Number two, I don't know everything there is to know about Mormonism. Don't profess to know, so we're not going to go there. I'm not even going to tell you everything there is to know about the Mormon God for the same two reasons. We don't have time, and I don't know everything there is to know about the Mormon God. I'm going to tell you what I know and fit it in with the time that we have. And hopefully that will be germane to you, so that you'll grasp and understand that from what we can present and what we can know is that the God of Mormonism, irrespective of which view there is, does not represent the God of the Bible as we would define it. And we'll look at why I think that is. Well, there's been a movement within Mormonism that can be traced back to the late 1960s in its infancy. And it kind of picked up steam, though, in this last 25 years or so, where the understanding of God, their understanding of God, has moved closer, at least from a Mormon perspective, to that which we find in the Bible. At least that's what they believe. And that's what some others believe. But is it true? Is it really closer to the God of the Bible? Well, this digression, if you will, really is just a move back, in their view, to the God of early Mormonism, how they started. And it didn't take long, as we'll see, that even Joseph Smith started to change his view about God. And we'll look at some quotes from him in just a little bit. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get themselves back to that time. And this new Mormonism, which was known by several names, some people call it new Mormonism, some call it minimal Mormonism. It's probably best known as neo-orthodox Mormonism. So I'm going to use that term more than anything else. Neo meaning new, orthodox Mormonism. So it's a new orthodoxy of Mormonism. And it incorporates a lot of different things other than just their view of God. But today we're going to focus just on their view of God. Well, really it comes down to a comparison between two theological terms. One is monotheism, and the other is monarchotheism. And I had to use those terms. We probably won't talk about much about it, but I had to use the term because if I didn't have some big words, you would think I didn't know anything. So I got to start off with using a few big words so you know that I might, or at least think that I might know something. Let's define these two. The first is monotheism. And basically it says there is one and only one God who is the greatest possible being. This one and only one God is personal, he's eternal, he's immaterial, the sovereign creator and sustainer of all things. Thus, he is necessary. He is unique. He is infinite. He is transcendent. And a lot of other things as well. So this is the God that's expounded in the Bible. And there's many other attributes of God, some of which we're going to talk about here this morning. But this is a general description. This concept of God is what classical Christianity is based upon. And it's very different than that held essentially by all of the LDS church. No matter which facet they are, it's different. There's some different beliefs about God among various components of the LDS church. There really are. The most current trend among Mormon theologians and scholars is that of monarchism. And I want to define what that is. You usually think of Mormon God as being, you know, this regression of God who was a man, who was a God, who was a man, you know, kind of thing backwards. But monarchism is this. It is the belief that there is more than one God, but one God is clearly preeminent among the gods. And in fact, he is the monarch or ruler of all the gods. The new Mormonism would fall into that category, to that definition. Okay? And from their view, this new Mormon version or this neo-Orthodox Mormon view of this concept would be that the Mormon God is not just the God of this world, but he's the God of the entire universe. Ruler, kind of. There's still other gods of the same kind as this God, but they refer to as Father God. But this Mormon God is not subordinate to any of these gods. He is the eternal God of all other gods. Right from Doctrine and Covenants. So that would be where they're coming from, this new, semi-new, neo-Orthodox Mormonism and their view of God. And this, of course, is not the traditional view of God within the Mormon Church. It's not. And so I want to take a look, first of all, at the traditional Mormon view of God. And then we're going to unpack this newer understanding of God by this growing movement that we find within the LDS Church and talk about why. That's important. Yes?
Are the other gods subordinate
Yes. They're subordinate, but there's a limit to how much their subordination is. It gets a little complicated. And they have, and scholars, LDS scholars, disagree on some of these points. So I'm trying to stay at the big picture, because I tell you, if we try to break it down, we'll never get it broken down. There's a lot of different views on it. But basically, that's what it is. There is a Godhead. This Godhead is sort of the principal ruler of the gods, so to speak. But even this Godhead has limitations on how much they can control of these other gods. We'll touch more on that a little bit as we go.
A lot like Greek mythology.
Well, you know, it does, doesn't it? It does sounds a lot like that in many ways. Okay, let's take a look, first of all, at this traditional view, Mormon view of God. We have to begin by understanding what Scripture is, okay? So he starts there, then it breaks away from there. So we have four major works of Scripture. They call them standard works of Scripture. We have the authorized version of the Bible. We have the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price. And then they have, I call it unofficial Scripture. It's not classified as Scripture, but it's very influential in Mormon thinking, in Mormon doctrine. It's called the King Follett Discourse. And all of those documents have had an impact on their view of God. So that's why they have an evolving God, a God that has changed. Not only that, it's gone beyond that. It didn't take them very long to start deviating from the God that's even in there. And we'll look at some of that here in just a little bit. So that's what's going on within Mormonism. Their God has been impacted also by the church's traditional leadership understanding of how God is defined and redefined. So it's not just what says in these documents, but how leaders historically, traditionally, have defined it. And in that, we see that a lot of that comes back to a large degree of the inconsistency that exists even within these various inspired scriptures of the LDS Church. They have a lot of inconsistency. Don't have time to unpack those, but I want to look at a couple examples. Well, we'll look at one example of this inconsistency. Within the Pearl of Great Price, there's two main books within the Pearl of Great Price. There is the Book of Moses and the Book of Abraham. In the Book of Moses, it says about God, "I am the beginning and the end, the Almighty God. By mine only begotten I created these things. Yea, in the beginning I created the heaven and on the earth upon which thou standest." Sounds a lot like what? The God of the Bible, doesn't it? It's very monotheistic in its view. But within the same document, in the Book of Abraham, we see something different. We see, "And then the Lord said, let us go down. And they went down at the beginning. And they," that is the gods, "they organized and formed the heavens and the earth." They begin to contradict themselves even within their own formal scripture. So this these contradictions between and within these four documents have led many of these LDS leaders to develop views of God that are completely in conflict with the Bible, which, by the way, is one of the books they consider to be Scripture, in that it doesn't conflict with any of the other Scriptures. That's therein lies the problem. It's not the priority. But I want to take a look at I think I've got six examples of things where the teachings of the of Mormon leaders traditionally over time have deviated from what we would know as the God as is indicated in the Bible. Now we're talking about traditional Mormon view here, not this new Mormon view. Okay, here's one right here. "In the beginning, the head of the gods called a council of gods. They came together and concocted a plan to create the world and people in it." That's from Joseph Smith himself. Here's another example. "God himself was once as we are now, and is an exalted man." Again from Joseph Smith. "The Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's. The Son also, but the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but is a personage of spirit." That comes from the Doctrine and Covenants. "As man is, God once was. As God is, man may become." You probably heard that one. That's a pretty common thing that people learn when they're talking or learning about the Mormon's traditional view of God. This always surfaces from Prophet Lorenzo Snow. This one is interesting. This one says that Jesus Christ is a son of Elohim, both as spiritual and bodily offspring. Jehovah, who is Jesus Christ, the son of Elohim, is called the Father. And that Jesus Christ, who we also know as Jehovah, was the executive of the Father, Elohim, in the work of creation as set forth in the book of Jesus Christ, chapter 4. That's from the Apostle James Talmadge. And then from Brigham Young, I think that's the Brigham Young quote. Yeah. This one really, really will stir your interest. When our father, Adam, came into the Garden of Eve, he came into it with a celestial body. And he brought Eve, one of his wives, with him. He helped to make and organize this world. He is Michael the Archangel, the Ancient of Days, about whom holy men have written and spoken. He is our Father and our God and the only God with whom we have to do. Now that doesn't shake you up a little bit. I don't know what will. But in all fairness, in all honesty, this last quote from Brigham Young has been denounced by the church. Officially they say, no, Brigham Young was not right about that. So I have to be fair with you. But it does do what? It does show how convoluted the Mormon view of God really is. They go in a lot of different directions, and they have traditionally gone a lot of different ways in their understanding about God. So if you want to take this aspect about God in the Mormon church, traditional Mormon church, and sum it up, it'd be kind of like this. A polytheistic teaching that in effect states that the universe is inhabited by different gods who procreate spiritual children, which in turn, clothed with bodies on different planets. Elohim is the God of this planet. So that's kind of the traditional view in a summary form of Mormonism. I'm going to give you a few more bullet points in just a minute to expand that a little bit or to explain it a little bit. But that's basically, if you summarize a traditional view of God within the Mormonism, that is that's our statement. And this view of God is what drives the ultimate Mormon goal. If you're going to take a Mormon and you want to give their ultimate goal, it's kind of summed up in this quote here. Their ultimate goal is this. It says, our Heavenly Father and Mother live in an exalted state because they achieved a celestial marriage. As we achieve a like marriage, we shall become as they are and begin the creation of worlds for our own spirit children. So that is essentially the goal of every Mormon. Now, we don't have time to break it down, but it's really more the goal of every Mormon man. Women have a little bit different role in this, but I don't want to get into that this morning. I don't have time. But that's what their goal is. So we sum it up. Traditional Mormon view of God is simply this. He's personal, but he has a body, an exalted man. He's an organizer. He has limited power. He has limited knowledge. He is localized. He is changeable, and he's one of many. So you can just sort of sum up all these things and quotes and all this understanding of the Mormon church, and that's the kind of God that they end up with. A century then, if you take a look at that, he is a very different God from what we found in those two passages in Isaiah, is he not? Nothing like it. Totally different. But this view of God has undergone a major shift among LDS theologians and some of their leaders during these past 25 years or so. So we want to take some time and see what this shift looks like, and see whether it really does bring the Mormon view of God back in line with the God of the Bible. So let's take some time now and unpack this aspect of this new God, this God of the Neo-Orthodox Mormonism. Essentially, what they've done is they've moved back to take the view of God found in the original standard works of Scripture, especially, really especially, the concepts of God found in the Book of Mormon. They really have. And they believe that this is the view of God that was practiced in the very early years of the Mormon church. And by the way, it was Joseph Smith who began to take them away from that view. So let's take a look. Excuse me. This movement, if you will, is in part driven by the obvious contradictions between the traditional view of God by LDS leadership and those things about God that's found in their original standard works of Scripture, especially the Book of Mormon. So I want to take a look at some of these contradictions, some of the things that they believe traditionally about God, and why that's in conflict with their own Book of Mormon. To give you an idea why this movement, this new neo-Orthodox movement came about. Here's one. They believe, and traditional Mormons believe, that God is a physical being with a body. However, the Book of Mormon clearly states, yea, he is that spirit. He has created all things, both heaven and earth. Holy, holy God, we believe that thou art God. We believe that thou art holy, and that thou art a spirit, and that thou art a spirit, and that thou wilt be a spirit forever. That kind of conflicts with their view of him being an exalted man with a body.
Alma
is like a chapter, a book of the Book of Mormon. Yeah, one section, just like Jeremiah and Isaiah. This is Alma, okay? And all the things you'll see up there are from the Book of Mormon. Here, they believe that God has evolved or he's changed, and he's not existed eternally. He was a spirit child of another God, who, and then he went on Earth somewhere, not Earth, but some other planet, and got a body. And now he's Elohim, he's the God of this world. So he's not eternal. But the Book of Mormon states, I know that God is neither a changeable being, you know, they can't be changed, but he is unchangeable from all eternity to all eternity. It's a direct conflict from the Book of Mormon as to what traditional Mormonism believes. Here's one. God is an exalted man. But as we stated before, I didn't re-quote these, but we read Alma 22 and 31 that directly contradict that. He's not an exalted man. He's a spirit, eternal spirit. Yes, sir?
Are these quotes from the most recent revision?
I can't say that.
Okay, because you know there's many.
I know. They have tons of revisions.
Tons
yes.
of revisions.
Yeah, they do. But you realize they claim they're not revisions. They're just clarifications. That the original Book of Mormon was perfect in every way, they said. Well, they have their apologists will answer. They'll tell you what they do is that they're not changing the Book of Mormon per se, but they'll tell you what that means, that God is eternally a spirit. They redefine it by words, but it's not from the Book of Mormon. So that's what I want you to grasp. So their beliefs have contradictions like these. And this is just a few of many contradictions within Mormon theology, what they believe and practice every day, and what was originally in the Book of Mormon. And it's these contradictions that have led many LDS thinkers to try to move the understanding of God back into more in line with what they perceived was the original Mormon understanding of God. And there are the major argument of neo-Orthodox Mormon thinkers is that the traditional view of God by the LDS Church does not come from the Book of Mormon. That's our premise. Yes, sir?
I don't mean to go backwards, but when you
I can go backwards.
With monarcho-theism.
Yes?
So we've said that Elohim would be like the God of this world. Would that mean that there would be one over him that...
No, not in that definition. Traditional Mormonism does not hold to that belief. This is the new Mormons that hold to this monarchism.
Okay?
That's the new Mormonism. They're the ones that believe that there's many gods, but their God, Father, they call him Father God, is the chief God. He's the chief God. And everybody else, he's not subordinate to anybody else, any other God. They're all sort of subordinate to him. Okay? Sure. So here's the thing. They're trying to get themselves back into principles that about God that more consistent with the Book of Mormon. I don't think they got there, by the way. I really don't. But at least that's their premise. That's what they were trying to do. And they did make some major changes. So here's kind of the bottom line. Traditional Mormonism views their theology is really human centered. God was even human. It's all about becoming a human, getting a body, and creating spirit children, and creating a world and be your own God. But that's a human-centered view. The new Mormonism wants to look at it a little bit differently. This new Orthodox Mormonism is much more has much more stress on the omnipotence and sovereignty of God. It's much more God-centered. That's what they're doing. In fact, some of these thinkers even hesitate to say that there are gods above the God the Father. They don't like to say that. They won't do that. They call this Mormonism's traditional infinite regress of gods a mistake. And they hold that there was never a time which Father God was not God. They hold to that. We'll see a little bit, he wasn't in the same form as he is today. But there was never a time when he wasn't a God, which traditional Mormonism clearly has a different view of that. So this is what they're doing. They're trying to get back and make God into a God, a real God, more God similar to what we would find in the Bible. So that's where they're going. In fact, they would even say that when they're talking about a man becoming a God, they believe that, first of all, that man, human, and all the gods are of the same species as Father God. They believe that. Even the Neo-Orthodox Mormons believe that. But they don't believe that we humans will progress in godhood to the extent that we will be the same as Father God. That we will not do. In fact, some of them argue that with more of us becoming God with a little g rather than a God of a big G. So you can see they're changing their view significantly about who God is. And that's scary. So here's the thing. They depart from this traditional view, but not everyone within the Mormon church. In fact, the majority still doesn't accept that. They hold to the traditional view, just so you know that. But this is a growing trend. And you're going to find more and more Mormons who are going to accept this view of God than the traditional view of God. And it's important that you understand that and what that represents. Because the Mormons that knock on your door may not hold the traditional view of God like you think he does, he or she. So you need to be aware of this whole thing. So I want to take a look at some of the beliefs that this Mormon monarchism or this God of the Neo-Orthodox Mormonism represents. These are not all of this God's attributes. We're going to look at just a few of the important ones. And the ones that on the surface make him appear like he is the God of the Bible. So that's what I'm trying to do. So let's take a look at these and we'll go through them real quickly. I've got six of them that we'll talk about. They claim he's a personal God in much the same way as we Christians hold for the God of the Bible. He is personal, he's self-conscious, he has reason, feelings, and will. They claim he's omnipotent. I always like to say omnipotent, and my wife gives me a hard time when I say omnipotent. I'm supposed to say omnipotent. And while there's varying views about the power of this new Mormon God, all of these views still conclude that this God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He has all the power that anyone could possibly have. And therein lies the problem. Number three, he's omniscient. Here, too, there's several views. But they all conclude that this God is all-knowing in that he knows all that he needs to know and all that can be known by a God. We'll come back to that. They believe he is infinite. He is infinite in that he has always existed and will always exist, and his knowledge and power extend through the infinite reaches of space. And they believe he's all good, as we do about God. They think that his God is all good. But we'll unpack that a little more a little bit later. And they believe that he is eternal, in that he has existed, has always existed, and will always exist. But we'll see there's a fallacy in that as well. So these are the key views of this Neo-Orthodox God that makes him look very similar to the God of the Bible. Is that not true? Don't we hold these same things about God? Can't we quote scripture that says these same things about God? Absolutely we can. And I'm going to show you that in just a minute. So is he really the God of the Bible? Well, let's begin by making that comparison by looking first at the God of the Bible. I'm going to go over some key attributes of God. Not all the attributes, not even going to pretend these are all the attributes. But I'm going to look over some key attributes of God taken from the Bible. And oh, by the way, I'm going to give you Bible references. We won't look them up, but you can write them down. So you know I just didn't make this stuff up. I may have made the references up. You'll have to read them to see if I made them up or not. But I'm going to give you some Bible references to some key attributes of God. And I want you to look as I go through this, How many of these line up with those six neo-orthodox views of God? Okay, we believe, and the Bible teaches, that God is personal and immaterial. He's self-conscious, he has reason, feeling, and will, just like the Mormon God. He can communicate using language. He's immaterial in that he is not composed of matter and constrained by matter. Whoops, a little different. He does not occupy space and is not governed by the law of physics. He's a sovereign creator and sustainer of all things. God is the cause of everything else that exists. That's important. He is the cause of everything else that exists. He, in fact, is the first and only uncaused cause. He created all things from nothing, and he sustains all things by his power. He is necessary and self-existent. He must exist for anything else to exist. And since other things exist, then God is both necessary and self-existent. By just logic, tells you that. He does not depend on anything else for his existence. Everything else depends on him. He is unique. There's nothing else like him. There cannot be. It's impossible because he's the creator of all other things. Nothing else can do that. He's omniscient. He knows the truth of every proposition, including the future. There is nothing he cannot know. He's he's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He has unlimited power in that he has as much power as it is possible for anything to have. He's omnipresent. He knows what happens everywhere. He's active everywhere. He keeps everything in existence at the same moment. He is transcendent. Oops, didn't see that one before on the other list. In his essential being, he is external to our universe of space, time, and matter. That doesn't mean he can't insert himself, if he wills, into this world, because he does. That's a theological term called his immanence. He does. But he is not of this, nor is he limited to this physical universe. He is infinite. He is infinite in that he is not limited by anything, and thus he is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and all these other things we're talking about. He can do that because he's infinite. And he's eternal. God always existed and will always exist. He always, now pay attention to what I'm going to say here. This is important. He has always existed as God with all of the divine attributes. Always. And 11, he is all good. But he's also the source of moral value. He is the perfect being and the essence of good. There is no such thing as good outside God. He is the transcendent source of all good. That's an important thing I want you to remember. So these are but a few, as I've said before, of the many attributes of God that we can find in Scripture. But I focused on these because these are the ones that are the most germane to what we're trying to use in order to determine whether or not the neo-orthodox view of God, or neo-orthodox Mormon view of God, I can't talk today, is the God of the Bible. So we're going to look at these because there's this overlap. You see the overlap, right? You see all six of those big things I talked about in neo-orthodox God in here, in this list. But I added some others because they're important, as you'll see as we go through this. So here's the thing. Let's take a look at some of these differences. First of all, I'm going to go back to that list of six from about the Mormon God. You see, he's personal, yes. They believe that. But he's also embodied. That means he is embodied as God as a physical being. He has a body. He has a physical body. He's omnipotent, but he's not so potent. It appears from how LDS thinkers view God that he would be similar in power to the God of the Bible. But actually, there are several views within Mormonism, none of which match that as described in the Bible, because in every case, their understanding of God's power is limited by his embodiment. If nothing else, the fact that he has a physical body limits him and makes him different in power than the God of the Bible. Can't help. That's what it is. He's limited by space-time. And he didn't create all the basic laws that govern it. Thus, for some laws then, of physics, he is subject to them. And he has limited power over other gods. Not absolute power. He's omniscient, but he's limited. While there are some neo-Orthodox Mormon thinkers that hold that God knows all things, including the future, by far the vast majority of them feel that there are still some things that even gods cannot know. Their God knows everything that can be known by a God, but not everything that can be known, including in most cases the future itself. They say he's infinite, but he's still finite. He may be infinite in that he has always existed and will always exist, but he is finite because he is a physical being who occupies a very limited amount of space and is limited in some degree in his knowledge and power. So he's still finite. And he's all good, but he's still subject to ethical and moral principles that are external to himself. He is all good, but they don't believe that he is the basis of the ethical values that he upholds. That's strange to me. They don't have that. I can't see where they've come up with a source. They may have come up with one, but I'm not aware of it, that they have a source. But their God is not that source. And of course, he's eternal, but not in the same sense as the God of the Bible. Because the Bible says that God eternally existed, he's eternally spirit, with all divine attributes always. Even the neo-Orthodox God once existed without a body. He had to become embodied. And then when he became embodied, we'll talk more about that in a little bit, he's limited by that. So he's eternal, but not he hasn't been eternally divine in the sense that we view the God of the Bible. So when you hear these terms, when they talk to you about these things, you got to know and understand, yes, they use these words, but there's a but that comes along with all of them. And it's very important to grasp. There's some other things that I want to talk about that makes it even more clear that even the neo-Orthodox Mormon God is not the same as the God of the Bible. Because they believe he is immanent, not transcendent. In other words, he is a material being, so he exists entirely within space and time. He doesn't transcend it. He's not outside of it. The material universe, in their theology, is all that there is. There's nothing else but the material universe. And there is no outside or beyond it, even for God. Their God is an organizer of the world, not the creator of the universe. They believe the material universe has forever existed as material. However, in neo-Orthodox Mormon view of God, this God does make some changes to the law in that he has taken and made order out of chaos. And so he's had some influence. But he still doesn't have control of all the physical aspects of the universe. So he's an organizer, not a creator. He is contingent and dependent. He's not self-existent. He's contingent in that it is possible for this God to exist or not to exist. There's nothing that says this God had to exist. He might not have existed at all. He did not have to. He didn't need to exist as God even. Thus, he's not self-existent. He's also dependent on the existence of the laws of nature and external principles in order to exist and to rule. He's one of many gods, not the one and only God. He may be the head god in neo-Orthodox Mormon thought, but he's not the only god. They also, by the way, view, in their thinking, they view humans, gods, and even the head god as being all of one species. We're all the same. There is no difference. And in essence, all can become gods. Some don't. And then usually many humans end up as angels in their view. But he's still, and last time we'll look at this, he's still an exalted man. He's not the one true God of man in the biblical sense. Now, he may have always existed, as they will say, and But he's not always existed in the form that he is today. And there, and even in Neo-Orthodox theology, their God was once a spirit, and he incarnated himself, basically, and became a man. He incarnated himself, became a man, and died and came back to life, and now he rules. Which is essentially the same view they have of Jesus. So their God is, Jesus is like this Father God. So you can see that he's still an exalted man, any way you want to shake it out. Well, this is where the rubber really meets the road for me, is when we view the Godhead within Neo-Orthodox Mormonism versus the Godhead in classical Christianity. And this is what I want to see. In Christianity, we believe there's one and only one eternal triune God who exists as three co-equal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is the creator and sustainer of all things. That's the classic Orthodox definition of the biblical God. Now, if you have a different belief than that, which you may hold, some do, but in the Bible and traditional a view of God, that's the view of God in classical Christianity. In Neo-Orthodox Mormonism, there are many gods, but one ruling Godhead. Now, this is important. The Godhead is comprised of three separate and distinct beings or gods. There's three gods, and they form a sort of a tritheism, not a trinity. There's a big difference. The Trinity is all one. Tritheism is three gods who are working together. So the Godhead, and they form this Godhead, and they call it a Godhead because they have a shared purpose and shared power and shared knowledge. And they do believe the view of the incarnation is that Jesus, for example, he came and took on a body. Then after his death, he was resurrected. And they believe that God the Father did much the same thing. Now, this is not the normal or the traditional path to Godhead that Mormons follow. That's not traditional Mormonism. They have a different view. So what we see here, when we take a look at a Neo-Orthodox Mormonism view of God and the classical Christian view of God or the biblical view of God, is two radically different gods. It's that way with any religion. They always say we're all going to the same God. Not true. When you break down what God is in these religions, they're all different, every single one of them. No religion has the same God. And this is especially true for Mormonism, irrespective of which view you have, traditional or Neo-Orthodox. And so the Neo-Orthodox and the new Mormon God really is not any significantly closer to the God of the Bible than the traditional Mormon God. So here's the thing. You just want to put it together in two little quick comparisons. The God of the Bible is absolutely necessary. Without this God, there would be nothing. The God of Mormonism, even the new Mormonism, is not necessary for the universe to exist, for gods to exist, for angels to exist, for humans to exist. It's not necessary. That's the big, big theological difference. Our God is necessary. So irrespective of whether you accept the traditional view or the new Orthodox view of God, he's just not necessary. He's not necessary. The universe exists with or without this God. And if he doesn't exist, doesn't mean that some other God wouldn't have eventually taken his place and we might still exist. So here's the thing. I'm going to get you that food truck a little bit early, maybe. The Mormon God, regardless of the version that you want to follow, is not the God of the Bible. Not in any way. I don't care how many terms you try to apply, in any way you try to squeeze him in there, he's not there. So irrespective of who you're speaking with from the Mormon church, whatever view they have of God, he's not the God of the Bible. He's a God that's been something that's been added to the God of the Bible. He's been changed. And that's the truth. So why should we care? This is where I'm going to end our discussion today. Why should we care? So what? In my corporate days at Caterpillar, we would give a briefing in a big meeting. We didn't have PowerPoints back in those days. Dates me a little bit. We had these overhead projectors. Remember what you have? You put these foils on there, and we had a rule. You could put anything on a foil that you wanted. You could have as much detail on it as you wanted. No limit. But in the upper right-hand corner, there was a little box, small box. And in one sentence, you had to summarize the heart of everything on that slide. And if you couldn't put it in one sentence, you couldn't put the slide up. And so that was the challenge. So that's how we want to do it. We want to summarize this thing. So what? Why should we care about this neo-Orthodox Mormonism's view of God? And that's for, yes, sir.
Less distinction between Christianity allows for greater deception.
Oh, bingo. Yeah, gold star. Very good. Less distinction requires for great or leads to greater deception, right? What else? What other reason might we want to know? Look at it from the reverse side for a minute. One has to do with deception for maybe for us, if they're sitting and talking to us about their religion and their precepts, if they can convince us that the God of Mormonism really is the God of the Bible, and we just don't have enough information, then that can easily draw us in to the rest, right? So that's number one. What about number two? Look at the reverse of that.
They can keep people in the Mormon Church in the Mormon Church by making it look more like Christianity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Yeah, they were deceived, right?
Yeah.
But something else, yes, sir.
It allows them to be able to have a foundation for their other scriptures.
Yes, it does. Absolutely does. Yes. And it minimizes our ability, if we don't know and understand this new understanding of their God, our ability to what? Tell them the truth. If we're not prepared, if we're thinking that every Mormon that knocks on your door is going to view this traditional aspect of God, and we think, oh, we can debunk that, bada, 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 and they say, no, I don't believe that. My God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He is, he is eternal. He is infinite. He is, you know, and you say, I guess I don't understand. It strengthens their apologetic and weakens ours. So it's very important. We need to know about the God of Mormonism. Because knowing about the God of any faith drives everything else downstream. Yes, sir.
One other little tidbit is what was said earlier about the Greek mindset. This is the Greek mindset in that it's the universe is eternal. And that all you've done is reshape what already exists.
Right.
Yeah. About the Greek mind, then you can argue with a Mormon in the same
way. It was Solomon that said there's nothing new under the sun, right?
That's right.
And same with the Jehovah's Witnesses. All it is Arianism all over again. So we can go round and round and round. It's important for us to know, though. Very important for us to know. And lastly, the last reason why this is important to us, because our Mormon friends are still loved by the God of the Bible. And unless they know and understand who he is, there is no hope for them. There is no plan of redemption for those who cannot know and understand the true God. That's the truth. And we should care because we care about them, because God cares about them. And there is no hope for them outside of understanding who God really is and what he has done in creation. And more importantly, what he is doing in redemption. He's in the redeeming business through Christ. And our faith in him, it's very important that we grab and understand that. And lastly, I'll leave you with these two slides. Whoops. It didn't take. The two passages we started with. This is what the Lord, the King of Israel, its Redeemer, and the Lord of hosts says, I am the first, I am the last. There is no God, no God but me. And there was no God formed before me, and there will be no God after me. And it ends with the most important point of all. There is no other Savior but me. Unless we know this God as revealed to us through His Word, there is no Savior. There is no salvation. That's important. Thanks for your time. You can run and get in front of the trucks. I'll be around if you want to ask me questions.
Are those passages in their Bible?